as a personal person in the community, I just want to thank you for your service. Each of you dedicate time and energy, and I appreciate that. And I just like to open in a word of prayer for us, all right? Father God, I just thank you for a beautiful evening. Thank you for the time and the energy and the commitment that these folks before us have committed to the school board. And just ask that you bless their lives, bless the time tonight. Just thank you for your presence in this community and in this school. And we ask that we may just turn our eyes upon you as we seek for guidance and just continue to have your hand over us. In your name we pray. Amen.
I forgot to ask you to identify yourself.
My name's Greg Hostetter. Thanks. I live in New Holland. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. All right. We have before us the personnel report. Hopefully everyone's gotten an opportunity to
look over that. And is there a motion to approve that?
So moved.
Is there a second? Rodney, second. Any other discussion regarding that? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That is approved. Resolution? Do you want to speak to that, Mr. Ramsey?
Sure. What you have before you this evening is a two resolutions and one resolution and the notice that is mentioned in the resolution for the 2013 general fund budget. You also have the first item there is the PD 2028 budget. We need to take action this evening because we need to have 30 days between proposed final and final adoption. Final adoption will occur at our June 17th board meeting. Keep in mind, changes can still occur between accounts and or in total between now and final budget adoption. What you see in front of you is based on discussions that we had at our last month's committee meeting. The budget calls for a 1.7% tax increase, which is the index, and it also uses $530,000 of our PESERS committed fund balance. Again, keep in mind that is non-reoccurring dollars that we're using to help phase in the large increases over the next several years. So any questions or comments?
I guess just as a point of information, and you can get back to us, if we were to change that number, say by maybe like 1.95 or something like that, how would that impact the amount that we would have to use, or what would that bring in, I guess, would be the question I would have. Just looking at that $500,000 that we're looking to pull from the PESERS fund, knowing that once we use that, it's gone, and we may need it more in future years to phase it in, since it looks like PESERS is going to be a longer-term budgetary issue. So I guess that would be the question.
I think that's a good thought. So if I hear you correctly, what you're saying, Mr. Yoder, would be to increase the tax increase slightly and commit that additional revenue to the PESERS fund indirectly by not dumping in as much this time. I think that's a good idea.
To see kind of what that would.
There's a lot of cannon fodder out there about the pension system and all the things that are going to happen, and really what it looks to me like, really nothing's going to happen. I think it's a lot of political noise, to be honest with you. And if something does happen, it's going to be years and years from now. So anything we can do to bolster our position there is probably a good idea.
For every 0.1%, so if you went from 1.7% to 1.8%, for every 0.1%, that brings in an additional just over $25,000. So if you go up 0.2%, that would be $50,000. 0.3% would be
$75,000. Right. So wouldn't have a huge.
Keep in mind that's compounding too. I mean, that's every year.
Right.
I'm also interested.
to like 2%.
Well, he said, I guess it'd be 75,000.
That'd be about 75,000 that would come off the amount that we're pulling for the PEASRs.
But what I'm saying is I would be in favor of somewhere in the neighborhood of 2%.
I would also fully support that 2% number instead of 1.7%.
It would be us using a little bit of our exception, but not much.
Yeah, that's important for the community to know. This would fall far below the exceptions that we've been granted, to be honest with you. So if you would do that, we'd still be well within the exceptions that we were granted by PDE.
I'm here. That amount above the 1.7 would be designated strictly for the PEASRs then.
Your ER, it would reduce what we would pull out.
Right.
Yeah, what we would pull out of that fund. I'm just concerned that going forward that we may need every penny of that. But.
And I'd also agree with both Glenn's and Paul on that also.
So reduce that. For tonight, though, we're going to vote what you have.
Right.
I think if you're going to do that, you ought to do it tonight. If you're going to move that, someone ought to make a motion.
Before I agree, say I'm okay with that. I thought we had designated that. That was part of what we originally planned on. Was the $535,000. So we were all okay with that originally. Has something changed? Just the political viewpoint.
Honestly, Mr. Boyd, I think two things probably are well, I shouldn't speak for board members. I can speculate. Most of the school districts around us are raising revenues higher than we are. We're one of the lowest. The second thing is, while the governor came out strong on pensions, I think the realities of the pension system are really being explored now, and I don't think there's a whole lot the state's going to be able to do anytime soon. So I think the realities of the debt affiliated with the pension system are starting to sink in. I think that's what's got people thinking again. But I'm speculating. I can't speak for board members.
Yeah, I was been on a task force that I had volunteered for with the Lancaster Chamber, and we're looking at that. PEASRs pretty closely, trying to come up with a recommendation or a proposal, and the things they are talking about, which may be possible to get, even if they do get them through, it's going to be long term until we can see any results from that. So I guess I'm just I'm just thinking it enhances our capabilities a little bit. It's not. I know it's not a huge amount. But.
I'm just looking at it from the standpoint of the whole way out to 2018-17 in that neighborhood, with fairly significant budget deficits. And again, the other districts are raising taxes higher than what we are. We're at the bottom. I don't want to penalize our curriculum at some point in the future when we're at the bottom of the tax pile.
Have we heard any rumblings as to what the index will be next year, or is it too early for this?
It's really too early to tell. As soon as I get that information, I'll let you know. There's two different ways the ECI could go. The employment cost index, the federal, that's one half of the formula. I've seen where it could be 1.4 or an index, or it could be 2%. So we're kind of in that stage where it's really hard to predict. And then again, will the legislator do anything to change it like they did this past year with the sum of the SAW, which was a statewide average weekly wage? Just to kind of comment on with Mr. Boyd with the PEASRs, one thing you have to keep in mind as well is these exceptions are, as we said before, use or lose it type of thing. Not that you necessarily want to use all of them, but we're phasing in over the period of the larger increases. So if you don't take advantage of some of the exception, if you will, when it comes down to really having to phase in after these next 5 or 6 years, you may not have an exception to really to go after. So I think from a financial perspective, it seems prudent to take some of it. Just my thoughts.
I have a couple questions and then a statement. I had thought you had given us a spreadsheet, going to look for it, that had some estimated what the index was over the next.
Yeah.
You had given us a spreadsheet.
Yeah,
that was kind of an estimate of
correct.
The index
that was,
over the next 5 years.
Yeah, that was based on the office, the can't think of the name off the top of my head, but it's for the state that they came up with those numbers over the next 3 or 4 years.
Okay. And
Independent fiscal office, I'm sorry.
So I want to make sure before I tear my file and cabinet apart.
Correct.
And then, so what does 0.1%, what does that mean to the taxpayer?
Tell you in a second.
If you
here.
Could tell us.
Yep.
And then while you're looking for that, just a statement. For me, I think we should be cautious about saying, well, other districts are raising taxes. I mean, just because other districts are raising taxes doesn't mean that we should raise taxes too. I would rather make an objective decision based on our needs than what another district needs to.
Did you
0.1% would be just over $2.
To the average, you're talking to the average.
To the average, correct.
Is there, then did somebody have a motion that they wanted to present? Changes? Move to make it 2%. To change it from 1.7 to 2.
Second.
Second. I guess we vote that to be just a changes, but then next week we vote on the actual resolution. Is that
no?
No, we're voting on the resolution.
You're voting on the resolution.
Okay.
You're not really voting on
right.
the 2% at this point. But what I'll do is this evening I will adjust the budget, re-upload it with the 2% revised. So that we can put it on display for the public.
To recognize that.
Correct. The resolutions themselves just authorize it to be put on display and advertised. Does not set a tax rate.
Was there any other discussion on this,
yeah,
John? Did you?
Yeah, I think I'm going to say no on this. It's too quick for me to think through the ramifications of. I had come into this meeting with the 1.7 in my head, and I was excited about the 1.7 because we haven't kept the base index in a number of years. So I'm gonna be
aggressive. Yeah, I understand. I you know, probably, I think was last year the first though that we took the exceptions or was it?
Yeah, last year was 2.93.
Okay, 2.93. Okay. So
I'll think it through, but at this point it's too.
Yeah.
I haven't. I'm looking at the numbers
for
the first time here, and I
want to
think it through.
Okay. Well, we'll have to vote here, and then. The final budget, of course, we'll vote on again. So all in favor of changing it to the 2.0, say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? One opposed. So the motion does carry, and the resolution is approved, I should say. Then Plan Con H. What happens if we run out of letters? Is there
more to go? PE makes up new ones.
Got all the way down to K, so we'll see what happens. I'd also like to take action this evening on Plan Con Part H for the Brecknock Elementary School project. This is what you'll see. Part H is there. It shows that we're completely funding it with cash and with, not with a bond issue. The reason I like to have approval this evening is just recently, the PDE Plan Con Task Force study, if you will, report came out. And And as you recall, this was part pursuant to Act 82 of 2012 to review the situation when the governor proposed a moratorium. As you know, they changed the date until October 1st of 2012, which we got the project in by then. One of the recommendations, a part of the study, one is to continue the moratorium. The second one, recommendation number two that I have on the screen, talks about the Commonwealth should continue to fund LEAs who have been notified through a PlanCon H approval letter, that they will continue to receive reimbursement. It doesn't say by what date, so I felt, you know, time is of the essence. Let's get it in as soon as we can. That's why I'd like to have approval this evening.
Are there any questions regarding PlanCon H? Or if not, I would look for a motion to approve the resolution.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And that is approved. We'll move into our committee reports, the Property and Services Committee, staying with Mr. Ramsey.
Great, thank you. The first item that I have for action next week is pretty standard every year. According to school code, we're supposed to name our depositories of the district funds. Just like last year, we are proposing to nominate Fulton Bank, PNC, and the Pennsylvania School District Liquid Asset Fund for as the district depositories for next year. As you know, we're transitioning from Fulton to PNC Liquid Asset Fund, which is going pretty well. As we previously reported, they are doing that at no cost to the school district. In addition, one of the things we just found out recently this past week is in regards to bounce checks. Typically, we get a fee for bounce checks, which we pass on to the individual that had bounced the check. That's also going to be free of charge, so it's going to save those individuals some money as well. So, again, these are the three banks at this point that we want to propose as our depositories for next year. The next item that I'd like to go over is the change orders for the Brecknock project. As you know, this timeline on the Brecknock project is very quick. There's not a lot of time in, you know, between the monthly meetings to get approvals to continue on the timeline of the project. In addition, it took several weeks for PDE to get back to us on the approval of Part G so that we could enter into contracts. Therefore, it really was, you know, almost 3 weeks late getting started. We've been working, Neil, myself, and the building principal have been working with the contractors to get back on target to meet the phasing deadlines as well as the final completion. We feel pretty confident that we'll be able to. Our concern is change orders getting approval before we can actually authorize them to do the work. For example, we've had one change order. They found some rock when they were excavating. There was a unit price. There's really nothing we can do about it. In addition, the testing company came out, and there were some unsuitable soils that we had to then do some additional work to. Really nothing you can do to really have the addition go up. What I'm proposing, if it's okay with the board, is to authorize me to sign the change orders so we can keep the work going. As you know from this project, the Gardenspot High School Middle School project, Mr. Walsh and myself really we really look at those with you know, and really go back and negotiate with the contractors as well as the architect is going back and forth with the contractors trying to get maybe an alternate solution that's going to save us money or do something to not have to issue the change order. If there's anything out of the ordinary that we feel we're not sure of, we will definitely come to the board first. But I would like to at least propose this so that we can keep it moving. At any point in time, if we have change orders that you're not happy with that we executed, you know, you can always revoke that and say, bring it to us first. But, you know, Mr. Walsh and I will continue to try to challenge the contractors to meet the specifications and save as much money as we can, come within the contingency.
Would there be a limit to the amount of change order about
a dollar?
Well, I want to open up to the board. You can easily put a limit on if you like. If you want to say, hey, you know, let's say, you know, I don't know, 50, 30, 25, 10. I don't know. You guys think about it and let me know. I just wanted to really throw this out there for discussion, so I didn't put any dollar value there. But you can certainly put a dollar value on it.
Do they, when they have a change order like this, do they require part of that to be paid up front, or do they just add it on to, do we do like monthly payments to the contractor? How is that structured?
We do monthly payments.
Okay, so that they would just add it on to the monthly.
That's what they do, but a lot of times contractors won't do the work until the change order is officially approved.
Yeah.
Our concern is you get a change order that comes in.
Some contractors want, like they do a change order, they want 50% or something right away, but they're not asking for that.
No. What happens with these building project is once it's approved, they'll add it to the pay app. And then we have what we call retainage. It's 10%. So 10% will be held back until, you know, they go through it. The work, so, but no, they don't ask for anything up front.
What, the fact that they found rock there, have they started excavating for, did they check where they're going to excavate for the addition?
This was the addition.
Okay, I thought this said a trench for the, okay.
Correct.
Trench, oh, for
yes.
This. It says for.
Correct. That's the stormwater trench.
Okay.
The footers and everything, the soils, that's all been done.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
There is going to be a change order coming for unsuitable soils. We don't know how much that is yet, but the trench itself where they found the rock was for the stormwater, and then all the excavation has been done for the footers, so there isn't any other surprises there.
Okay. Okay. Good.
Out of curiosity, what was unsuitable about the soil? Too much clay or what?
So they couldn't pour a slab on top of it because of okay.
and that's all due to the IBC, the International Building Code.
Yeah.
Previous to that, it would have been okay.
Just as a point of information, we had the same process in place for the garden spot renovation, and the board didn't have any issues. The entire project.
Right.
Had we not had that in place, we would have been another year probably,
because
there was a lot of on the spot decisions that had to be made.
Just from my understanding, so sorry to make you walk me through this. So they're out there digging, building, whatever, and all of a sudden they have to make a change. So how did, and up until now, all the change orders go through the board. So how was this process then moved forward for this particular change order?
This particular change order, we gave, this was a unit price in the bid specs. So when we opened the bids, they had a unit price for rock removal. This was part of that bid that we gave to them. So this is something different, because it was a per unit price, and we just confirmed the quantities, cubic yards that were removed, times that unit price. But that's what kind of, as we looked at this and kind of Mr. Walsh and I talked through with Glenn Miller, who's with Crabtree Warball, felt that it would be advantageous based on the timeline, because what will happen is if we hold the project up and we miss phases or we miss the deadline, we can be liable for liquidated damages. So that's additional cost that we're trying to avoid just by trying to expedite the process.
Sure. No, I understand.
And that example was an example that really wasn't a perfect example. A better example might be Rodney or Mr. Jones. We've got footers open, heavy rain. Footers fill up with mud. They got to excavate the mud again. They got to pull it all out. That's clearly not in the specs. That would be an on day decision where we got to say go, just get it done. So that's a better. That might be a better example.
No, I get it. I understand the rationale behind it. I think it might be along the lines of Mr. Wenzel, where I think there should be some type of matrix for the decision-making to take place, only because then if we're held accountable, somebody says, well, as a board, you're supposed to have some oversight there, then we would have an answer for that. Well, here is our oversight, and this is the decision matrix that we put in place to make sure that there is some board oversight.
Yeah, and I'm perfectly comfortable with that. Just let me know how much.
Yeah. Did we have, you're saying we did? We had that with the previous project here where they would just each month, Keith would bring us.
Here it was a lot worse. We might not get any of these. This project is a lot smaller in scale. But anytime you do a renovation.
Well, we hit asbestos.
Anytime you do a renovation, renovations create unforeseen circumstances. They just do. Anyone who builds a house knows that. It's easier to build a house than to try and renovate them, one that's already standing. So it's just basically trying to keep the project moving. I think you guys understand it.
We can
come up with some parameters to make those decisions for next week if you're comfortable with that.
Okay.
What was the largest change order you approved for this project?
The water or the asbestos?
The greenhouse. But I didn't approve that. You guys did.
We knew that was going to be.
The second one was the Hal Hart hallway going up here. But we had that long discussion. I'm not completely sure how much that was. I mean, the change orders were not large. There were just many of them. And I think about, okay, they're going to go in there and they're going to knock down a wall in a bathroom, and then all of a sudden, they need to change the way the plumbing fixtures or the piping's being run, and before they can, close the hole, they need to get authorization to do it. I don't think there wasn't a lot of change orders that were large in numbers. 25,000 maybe.
Well, what if we put some parameter on it, like as long as the change order keeps the consistent structure of the building without adding a greenhouse or any additional rooms
That's fine.
Station on top.
Right. I mean, that's what, in my mind, that's what I saw happening. If it's something structural that we need to do to keep it moving, to keep the intent of the project moving, but if it's something that, might be nice or alters the specifications or what you might above and beyond what we know, then I think that's something that has to come to the board.
Right.
But if it's something that we need to do, that's what I was thinking. I think Mr. Walsh was thinking the same thing.
Keep in mind, they'll all come to you too. Some
correct.
Of them just come to you after they've been done.
Right. Each month,
it's
I'll
not
get
like
you
you're
list.
Not going to see them at all.
Yeah.
That's pretty much how we did the last one.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The ones that were real consequences, we stopped and we talked about it.
Yeah.
Part of the issue is we've done a lot of, how should I say this? There have been modifications along the way to buildings. For example, we had electrical cable buried in a parking lot that someone put in sometime along the way, and nobody knew about it. And then they pulled it out with a track hoe. We didn't know that cable was there. No one knew that cable was there, but somebody, I shouldn't say no one, somebody knew that cable was there, but it wasn't on a map, it wasn't on an electrical plant. Some of those modifications, those kinds of surprises we need to address immediately.
Well, and the other issue is sometimes it depends which code inspector you get that certain
That's
day,
a really good point.
Because things that will pass
for one don't pass for
the next.
That.
Correct.
Yeah, but, I think we certainly trust your judgment and knowing when to bring, you know, bring things to the board. It's certainly going to be cumbersome if every small little change order has to come to board approval.
So it sounds like what I'm hearing is if it impacts the functionality of what's or the end result of the building, if you will, what the intent was, it's okay. If not, then I need to come to the board. Doesn't sound like there's really a dollar amount, but okay, that works for me.
Will you rewrite that for next week?
What's that?
Rewrite that
or put some type of language.
Put some sort of language in it. So
yep, I think Marion got it.
All right.
Okay. My next action item is the appointment of auditors for a 5-year term beginning with the year ended June 30th, 2013 audit. The responses, we have received the responses from the several auditors, and I've talked with several of them, and they were very pleased that we got the response that we got. When I told them, you know, that we had about 10 or so, they were like, wow. So that's definitely is complimentary to the board and the school district. You can see that they ranged from a low of, for the 5-year term, $19,000 up to our current auditing firm at $42,900. I have contacted all of the references. I know many of them. So I contacted them, and all of them got very, very good reviews. BBD at the low end, the 5-year of 19,520, 20,500, 20,800. You can see that is just under $100,000 for 5 years, and you look at the high end at 224. So you're saving, you know, $124,000. You know, we've been with Traversall and Groff for many, many years, and I have high regards for them and their expertise. BBD, I knew several of their references. I actually called them, talked with Matt Brazar at School of Lancaster. He was not one of the references, and he had a lot of good things to say about them as well. So I would say from this perspective, any one of them would be fine to work with. As you know, when you change auditors, there's going to be some additional work in the transition. They may want something different than what the previous firm wanted. So I have no problem with that additional work, whatever that may be. So I guess at this point, you know, ultimately the board is the one that appoints them. But as I said, all of them were well received by their references.
Compliments to the board. I think the board, yeah. Someone here in the board is the one who said, hey, let's take a look at that. So we did, and found some good things. So thank you.
So we need to, I guess, oh, yes, go ahead.
Working with an out-of-state firm, let's say the second one down there, are you comfortable working with an out-of-state firm as opposed to a more local firm?
You know, one of the things, I mean, that was one of the criteria that I put in the RFP, which was, you know, location to the district. But what I found is, you know, there's a lot more phone conversation that happens throughout the year. There's a lot more emailing of documents. One of the firms, I think it was Boyer Ritter, that said that a lot of what they do is, you know, is uploading files to an FTP, secure FTP site, which we do with Trout and some others, and they do a lot of their testing and a lot of their work before they even come out. And, you know, they're only usually here a week, 2 weeks when they do the single audit and the regular audit. So, actually, BBD's out of Philadelphia, but the gentleman that we spoke to lives in Westchester, so they're close. One of the gentlemen that will be on the audit manager, used to work for Barbara Kane Thornton. And that's when I called School of Lancaster, and, you know, they said that the gentleman that was the audit manager they were very, very pleased with. You know, one even told me that his assistant has a special place in her heart for the gentleman because everybody else went home and he was there with her Christmas Eve to get the AFR in. So he would highly, highly recommend them. You know, location is not a big deal anymore, it seems like. But again, they're really not that far away.
Yeah, and even one out of state, and Wilmington's probably as close as Philadelphia.
Right.
That line. Watertown, New York's a little.
That's a little. Yeah. Well, and that actually, Northern Lebanon actually uses them.
Do they really?
For auditing, yes.
That's way up there.
Yeah.
So out of all of these, what are most school districts, who are most school districts using?
Most school districts in our IU are using Traverse Home Grove. They might not be. That's correct.
I'm disappointed.
Yeah, that's wow.
Because I will also say this because I hear it from them. Our audit is the plum audit. The auditors want to come out here because it's easy auditing because everything's in such good shape. I think they're foolish. I think there was a bad business decision not to come in a little lower.
It's not even close.
No.
Not
even close. Yeah, I'm shocked. Really.
We are too.
As much as I hate to take money out of our county and put it in another county, I like BBD.
And is that a motion to?
If we had to choose one now, we
should probably choose one now and then make it as a vote to approve the next.
Yeah, week. Typically this happens in May, and unfortunately with the timing of everything, just to follow up on BBD. I actually talked to a gentleman in the Garner Valley School District that I know very well and is highly recommended in the PASBO group. And, you know, my concern was, wow, these prices are so low. Are they just lowballing? And then, but he's been with them for several years, and their fee is right in the ballpark. And he was very happy. He's actually trying to negotiate an extension onto his agreement to stay with them. So, you know, granted, as I said, BBD, I mean, I know that they're losing money on the deal, but I think in talking with them, they're really looking at trying to expand that business. And as Dr. Hollister said, depending on what happens, you know, once we move, there may be others that are going to could follow as well, because it all comes down to dollars and cents.
Yep.
You know, and they have their professional licenses that they need to. Do. I mean, they got seven school districts, and they have a CTC that they do. So, to me, I was trying to in the specifications. I said, you know, at least two. I was going to say at least five, but I didn't want to make it too tight, too stringent, if you will. But like I said, they have about seven districts and about one CTC. So,
just so you know, Mr. Ramsey and I had a long conversation after he started talking about the direction we were going, sharing some of the same concerns, moving outside the county, getting away from a partner for a long time, the fact that it could lead to some others departing. I mean, we had all these conversations, and Mr. Ramsey was very thorough in the references. He talked to people I know, talked to school districts that I'm familiar with, superintendent. So it's all thumbs up for this group. And then when they were here, I wanted to meet them as well and did step into the room. And both you guys are from King of Prussia, Westchester area, so they're pretty close.
That's not that far.
So I'll make a motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 And I guess what we'll do is amend that and then.
Yep, I will fix this and then for the actual official motion next week, I'll adjust it. I'll let Mr. Johnson and Jill Jansen know from Trout kind of the direction we're going, give them a heads up. And, you know, we've been very well served by them. They have a true expertise niche in this market. So we at least want to recognize that. So thank you.
I just have one more question. What are we going to do with the money we save?
I have another room to Brecknock.
We can reset that. We can reset
part of the change order.
Sorry. Hey, that's, you know, we make decisions on less than that. I mean, that's a substantial amount of money.
But And again, I just want to kind of echo what Dr. Hollister said. Thank you for bringing that up, you know, just to get us looking. I mean, you know, sometimes we get very comfortable in who we utilize because of the expertise, but appreciate you bringing that up. The last action item that I have for next week is the approval of the mandate waiver program evaluations and to authorize me to sign them and submit them to PDE. As you know, we received 5 mandate waivers in June of 2010, right before the mandate waiver program expired. And within 3 years, you need to provide a program evaluation. The first one, and you do have copies of all the evaluations that are attached to this agenda item. Number one, it was the increasing of the threshold of $5,000 to $25,000, to which district personnel can complete work, repairs, maintenance type of upgrades. Compliments to Mr. Walsh and his staff. We have a fine maintenance, an HVAC electrician on staff that can do a lot of things, and the $5,000 seemed like minimal. So we asked to have an increase to $25,000, which we were granted, and we actually utilized it twice in the 3-year period and saved over $12,600, where they were able to run some piping. And we anticipate that we'll be able to use that more and more as we go on. Number two was to advertise bids on the website in lieu of the newspaper. Over the last 3 years, we really didn't have to use it. We actually participate in the IU Calo discount bids, which all that advertising is done by them. I sit on the task force for that, and we're actually looking at trying to expand that. It's more of the just-in-time delivery. We don't have to worry about having closets full of glue and paints and all those things that dry up. So we didn't really have to do any bidding on our own, because a lot of the stuff we could also buy off the state contract, CoStars, which is okay because we really can, even though we didn't use it, we now have a way, as you recall, with the construction projects, we're able to put a very small ad in the paper and then really refer them to our website. So we save a lot of dollars there. So by not using this, it's not that we don't have other options. Number 3 and 4, I'll kind of take them together. We actually wanted to increase the quotation threshold, and we wanted to increase the bidding threshold. But as you know, those were increased by legislative action. The quotes went up to $10,000, and they're going to be indexed up based on inflation. And 19.5 was for the bids, and again, that'll be inflationary up. So we didn't have to utilize it because legislation granted us a higher amount. And then the last one was one that was done by the IU-13, was the way we purchased bulk fuels, which was heating oil and also gasoline and diesel. Unfortunately, we were not able to participate in the IU-13 bid because we use tank wagon delivery method. They could do the transport but not the tank wagon. So the IU-13 is going to do a response based on the bulk fuels, the diesel, and the heating oil. They're going to respond to that because it came in their name, but we needed to respond because of us having to purchase at the district level the gasoline. From when we looked at 2011-12 and we benchmarked it with Mr. Walsh, took a look at the different cost per gallon that you see on the billboard or on the gas station signs on his way in, as well as what other districts did, we quantified that we saved approximately just under $16,000 the way we did it, being able to lock in at different prices throughout the year versus putting one bid out and see what happens. So we were able to negotiate some savings there. So all in all, the mandate waivers really benefited us. Now that we will submit this, we'll continue to be able to again, run business as you will based on these mandate waivers, and we're hoping that the program will come back. I know there's discussion in the legislature to bring it back. We're hoping that that continues. So
the was there a reason they didn't increase the threshold for district personnel?
They actually did, but it wasn't as high as our waiver.
Oh, okay.
So that's why we want to continue with this waiver. I don't know off the top of my head what it was, but I remember when the law changed and we talked about it, the waiver wasn't as high as, or I'm sorry, the law changed it to an amount less than what we had asked for, and we were granted. So we felt we wanted to stay with the $25,000.
Yeah, just for clarification, maybe for those. You said you requested them in June 2010. This is just to reauthorize it, or
this is basically what happens is we get approval of the waiver based on what we justify why we need the waiver. Then they grant the waiver, and you have 3 years to basically utilize that waiver. And then within 3 years, you need to provide justification. Okay,
okay.
We grant you this waiver. How did you use it, and how did you save money? So that's what we need to do now.
Will we be granted again automatically, or do we have to do the process?
No, once we submit this, then we can use it forever.
Until you have to justify it again.
Correct. So you need to justify something else. And right now, there's really no department there, so we're going to send it in and see what happens. But no, typically, they once you have that three-year evaluation period, then it's granted then.
This gives a job for somebody in Harrisburg, I guess.
That's right.
That's pretty much.
Okay,
I mean,
that's...
It's just... It's unbelievable that you have to go through all this just to get a waiver so you can have your own employees do work on your school district because you're taking...
Right.
You know, you may take $2,000 out of a union contractor's hands. But,
right.
Oh, well.
I have one information item. We did receive our preliminary homestead certified list, homestead farmstead certified list from the county as of May 1st. We also received our allocation for the Act 1 property tax relief from the gaming revenue and the Sterling Act reimbursement. You can see that the total numbers that were approved, and actually I have a wrong amount, I have a wrong year there, and that first one should be 13-14. Actually went down from 12-13. I will adjust that then and fix it. And also our gaming allocation went down from just under 444,000 to just under 443,000. But even though our allocation went down because our total number of properties went down, the actual gaming revenue or the tax reduction, if you will, went up. And again, it will be adjusted slightly based on the 2% versus the 1.7. And I'll have that adjusted before we take official action in June. This is more of an informational item right now.
Okay.
That ends my report, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Ramsey. Any other questions for the property and services? Program committee.
Thank you, Mr. President. I will be speaking for Dr. Larkin this evening regarding program. We have an information item that will most likely be an action item next month. We are currently exploring the possibilities of an alternative education program to be housed here on site at the high school. The one program that we take advantage of currently is through the intermediate unit. That program has, well, at first was becoming cost prohibitive, but late last week they officially closed that program. So now we must come up with an alternative, no pun intended. The cost started in 2007 at the IU at $23,000. This current school year, the budget is predicted to be $38,800 per student for alternative ed. A number of the school districts got real shy about committing, because you have to commit ahead of time to those slots. There was so little interest from school districts that even before we said no, or no thank you, they had closed the program. It doesn't seem that they really want to be involved in alternative education at this point. So we are coming up with a program. We had already begun planning that even before we discussed that with the IU. That was one of the programs we had on our burners. The program, it looks like, will be housed in the high school at the end of a wing, where we can literally put a physical barrier between these kids and the rest of the student body. In all honesty, these kids are difficult kids. This is a behavioral alternative ed program, not like Washington, not like our online program that we have. These students are the students who would have drug and alcohol violations, who would have repeated multiple disruptive kinds of things. These are the kinds of kids who would make threats to other kids, and that we would take them seriously. So I want to be clear that the types of students that we're going to keep on campus are in need of a lot of support. We do have, we believe, the means to do it here. We have the expertise. There'll be a cost associated with hiring someone to facilitate that room that we end up having. We believe that the curriculum for the program will probably be an online version. We'll provide transportation that would be separated from the regular student body, so we are going to provide some physical space in a number of ways for these kids, probably have them arrive slightly after the rest of the kids. The program that we have permission to implement does not require students to be on site all day. We have permission to allow students to put in time outside of the facility online. We'll probably develop some support programs and maybe some work programs for these kids. So I say all that improperly and maybes because we haven't crossed all the T's on it, but by next month you'll see that. You'll also see this reflected in the budget. Not sure how that will be reflected in the budget as a reduction or an addition based on the expenses that we are anticipating paying, the transportation that we're already providing to the IU. We're honestly not sure if it's going to be cost neutral or a little bit more. I'm just going to say right now it'll be a little bit more. The other possibility here is if we feel real comfortable with the program we create, it could turn into a revenue stream for the school district. We've already had conversations with another school district about having them send some of their kids here, much the way we do with our special education programs. Again, assuming that we have a good handle on the program and can serve students, it could be a potential revenue stream. So there's more to come on that, but we wanted to get it on your radar because we will be making a decision next month. Are there any questions?
How many students are you serving in this?
Good question. Right now, we had three in the program, or three slated to go to the intermediate unit that we'd be bringing back. The other part of this that's becoming an interesting dynamic, and I think a good dynamic, is the ownership of these kids is increasing with the accountability that schools are receiving. It's 10 years ago, 5 years ago, it was easy to have these kids just go away and not worry about them and not worry about their results, their academic results. Now the academic results for these students matter a lot and will matter even more going forward. They'll matter for the district, they'll matter for the superintendent, my personal evaluation, they'll matter to the principals and their evaluations, and they'll matter to the teachers and their evaluations. The graduation rate for these students matters now. So in a lot of ways, it's nice to have these students within arm's reach because we'll be able to continue to coach them and help them here on site rather than having them far off site and out of sight and out of mind when they really need to be our charge. So it's an appropriate move, I think. Any other comments or questions?
Yeah, I have a couple. Do they, the person that would facilitate this program, would they need to be a certified? Are they a teacher or are they somebody who has expertise?
We're looking into that. If we can do it with a paraeducator, we will.
Does the state mandate how many students per?
Yeah, there's a structure for all of that. I think we're approved for 8. I'm not sure. We'll have it for you. We'll have it for you with the whole program.
Okay.
We were approved for an alternative program about 2 years ago, and I've never implemented it.
Yeah.
Because of the various programs that existed, it just wasn't on the radar, on the front burner, I should say. It's always been on the radar. So there is a number, and there are lots of requirements and specifications that we need to adhere to. There needs to be certified teachers giving grades, and we have a way to do that as well.
Would there be some type of curriculum for specific, or is it just a standard?
No, that we would be the students would be following our curriculum and our requirements, probably online, but it would be online courses. They'd be able to float in and out. One of the positives about having this on site is there's going to be a real close monitoring of student behavior with a reward system in place. Students are going to be able to earn the rights to start migrating back into their regular schedule. Having alternative education students here, they'll be able to participate in our athletics. And that might be a really good thing for students who are struggling. It might be the buy-in they need. But when they're off-site at the IU, they can't do that. They can do it, but it's really impractical.
Yeah.
So there are some other ways that we think we're going to be able to help motivate kids by showing them doors back into the regular population.
Okay.
Again, this is an information item just to get it on your radar. We'll have full details. You know, we're sort of in the brainstorming stage to some degree, but we'll have something for you next month.
But this has to be up and running by next.
Pardon me?
This has to be up and running by next fall.
It does. Yeah, it does. Question, Paul?
We were told last week that the IU only anticipated having 5 students in this class for next year.
That does not surprise me.
I believe they also have 1 or 2 employees that would be available if that would fit into your needs.
No, I was going to. It's good to know. Good to know. Okay, any other questions or comments?
Then we'll turn it over to the management committee.
Okay, management committee. Thank you. Just a couple of routine items, truly routine. 8.1 is an action item to approve Mr. Ramsey as the tax collector. We've been doing this for several years. 8.2 is to approve once again Mr. Wenzel as the board treasurer. That's something we have continued to forget every year until this year, so we're on it this year. Time. Usually it's June approval, but we're getting it done in the right month this time. The only other information items I have to add that aren't on the agenda. There was a communication that came out today, although I have not heard it officially, that Secretary Tamales has resigned from Governor Corbett's cabinet, and we'll have to wait and see what happens there. And then the other thing I'd like to throw out to the board members, it's a little bit last minute, and I understand that, but there is a Understanding Poverty workshop taking place in this room here Saturday morning and afternoon, Saturday from 8 to 4. There are spots available. It's a joint effort of the Cross Connections Group and Elanco Social Services Network that are sort of co-sponsoring it. One of the challenges that both organizations are having is just really having board members truly understand what poverty is all about, because we think we know what we really don't know. And so there's going to be an educational session here on Saturday. The mulching can wait. I told my wife that. The mulch can wait another week, and so we'll all be here. Food will be provided, snacks, and I did get to receive a little a taste of the presenter at an ESSN ambassador meeting several weeks ago, and I really think it's going to be exciting. He's really good, really good. So. At this point, they're expecting about 45 folks. I'll be there, and some other folks in the school district will be there as well. So you're invited. If you want to join us, let me know. And that concludes, yep, that concludes my report.
Okay. Just curious, Tom, how many years have you been serving as treasurer? Do you know?
I'd be close to 10 years.
I just,
when Don Schaefer went off, that's when I took
over. I just want to thank you for your willingness to serve. It's, so thanks for that. Any other announcements? Or
just wanted to share some information. This past Thursday and Friday, I got to participate in an activity with the IU up at State College, and the IU 13. Has been awarded a grant, and they've been awarded it for several years. It's about a $180,000 grant they're awarded by the Department of Education, and it's money that comes through the Robert E. Casey Fund for organ donation and awareness. And so they administer this for the whole state, the IU-13 does. And they offer grants to schools, and the schools put on programs, and it's usually a combination of their science classes and their health and ed classes. And here at this school, Mrs. Groff did a program with some students that I took part in April, I believe, where they did presentations on organ donor awareness to all of the kids in the high school and through their health classes. And they had them play games that was really, really interesting and informational. But anyway, so any school can apply for these grants. Well, all the winners were at State College on Thursday and Friday, and it was pretty neat to see all of their. Unfortunately, we didn't win this year. Hopefully, we'll win next year. But it was pretty interesting to see the innovative ways that they were getting this word out. But it was anyway. I got to go represent. I was asked to come and give a talk. Keynote talk on Thursday, and as guest of the IU, and so you know they didn't throw any tomatoes at me, but had a good time.
Yeah, well, thanks for taking time out of your schedule to do that. I'm sure it's they learned a lot. Yeah, so any other announcements, Steve? Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn? Paul, I'm in a second.
Second.
Tom, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you all for coming out this evening.